You're listening to View from the Couch, a podcast about TV, movies, DVD, and just about anything from parents with children. And now, your hosts, Kent and Michelle.
Hey, welcome to View from the Couch for April, Wednesday, the 5th. 6th.
Thanks, Yoda. Ooh. So, yes, it is post-Connor's birthday.
Which is why my brain is not working.
It went really well. You are an awesome kids party planner.
Well, I try.
But part of it was destroyed.
Well, by really small part.
Bad postal service. I ordered this crazy big package of Mylar and regular balloons, all SpongeBob, different colors, like really cool big Mylar SpongeBob balloons off eBay for about $25 total, which is insane. Because a regular balloon like that, a big Mylar, is $5 or $10, not inflated, so
yeah.
We got a ton of stuff. And it showed up. Connor's birthday, April 1st. Party, April 3rd. Balloons arrive, April 5th.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, it wasn't a total tragedy, but it was still annoying. It was still annoying.
We ran with it. We were able to roll with the punches.
So, yes, as you gather, SpongeBob theme. It was a SpongeBob theme. We're not just randomly doing some crazy stuff. It wasn't like a strawberry shortcake theme. Not that he would have one, but strawberry shortcake with SpongeBob balloons. We got a deal. No, we didn't.
Actually, it worked out really well because we had his party at a local pool.
Yes.
And
I wore a Hawaiian shirt. I brought the iPod with Beach Boys music in it.
Yeah. And the cake was a swimming pool with SpongeBob in it.
Michelle makes the coolest Christmas cakes. What am I even talking about?
I don't know.
The coolest birthday cakes. Because what have you done? You've done like a teddy bear.
Yeah, 3D teddy bear.
3D teddy bear. That was crazy.
I did one of those Barbie doll cakes, except it was Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
Right. That's right. Yeah. So the whole bottom of her dress was the cake.
Last year, cool. Emily's cake was, for her last birthday, it was like a wrapped candy for
right.
Halloween.
Right, yes. So that it was kind of cool. An oval-shaped cake, and then the ends were cut out. So it was like one of those cellophane-wrapped candies twisted on the ends.
Yeah.
That was neat. Because Emily's birthday is the 28th of October. Yeah. It's always close to Halloween.
Yeah, they're fun to do. I like being creative with cake.
Yeah, you're good.
And then I get to eat it up.
Well, I was going to say, I like eating cake, so you be as creative with cake as you need to be. Do you need to practice now, for example? Bake us a few cakes, would you?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so we ended up bringing home half the cake. No, probably four-fifths of the cake, because the kids didn't really eat any.
No, I gave them really tiny pieces. Kids at birthday parties do not eat cake.
No.
They don't.
And we are Michelle and I are both kind of watching what we eat, and you're doing way better at it than I am. Michelle's slimming down. She's going to leave me. You heard it here first.
I am not.
Yeah, so I'm working on it too, but I'm behind. I have to catch up.
I have to be careful, though, because between the chips and the cake.
Yeah, and being left alone for extended periods of time.
With the chips and the cake.
I come home, her face is covered with icing with little pieces of chip in it.
And the worst part is, too, I bought colored licorice to use as part of the decorations.
Bought being the operative word because it's all been consumed now.
Nobody likes it.
Oh.
The kid.
Nobody likes it, so I have to eat it.
So I just ate the whole bag.
Ooh, I didn't even get a chance. I didn't even know it was an option. That's hurtful.
Well, I knew the kids didn't like it. And I'm pretty sure you've had it before and didn't like it either. I used it on another cake.
What's it flavored like?
Oh, I did Emily's birthday, a butterfly for her birthday 1 year.
I don't remember that. That was with her first husband.
I cut up pieces of this licorice and
cut up pieces of butterflies and put them all over the cake.
And, Emily hated the licorice.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah,
I don't think you liked it either. Nobody likes it except for me.
Well, what's it flavored like?
Well, each one's
dish
different.
Soap?
No, the orange one tastes like orange, and the yellow one tastes like lemon, and the...
What's wrong with that? I mean, aside from the fact that cherry... What is it? The regular kind? Cherry? Is it cherry flavored? Man, I love... And nibs. Ooh.
I think... No, you know what? I think Twizzlers are strawberry, nibs are cherry.
Tell you what, you do the show, I'm going to get some licorice right now.
Yeah, and I don't know what the blue ones are. They're kind of gross.
Antifreeze flavor, I think.
They kind of taste like soap.
Yeah, they're antifreeze.
The green ones
they stay soft in our harsh Canadian climate. They're blue.
So, yeah. Anyway, I just ate them. I saved everybody the pain.
Another thing too is I didn't mention this last week. I jumped on the iPad bandwagon late, very late in the game, but as a result got one smoking hot deal because my oldest brother Tim, hi Tim, thanks Tim, was planning on getting an iPad 2. Not sure why, he just really wants one. So he
wanted.
Yes, wanted, past tense. So he was going to go ahead and get that and just said, you know, I'm thinking I might sell my G1. And I said, oh, what would you sell it for if you were to sell it, say, to me? And he said $365. And it is a 32 gig 3G Wi-Fi, which is insane because even to buy a G1 new from the Apple Store, Walmart, anywhere like that, it's about $550 still.
Wow.
Even though there's a new one. So $365 is great.
And plus he loaded it up with a bunch of cool stuff.
No, I did all that. He completely had to wipe it.
Oh.
So I got a new, I had to get a new Bell SIM card to put in there. And,
And
so I loaded all the apps, but, yeah, so I'm enjoying it very much. I've been playing the pants off of, Plants vs. Zombies, finished that last night. Been really enjoying watching movies and stuff on it. Comic, you know, being able to look at comics on there, that's huge, huge, huge. I'm having a lot of fun with it. So thanks again, Tim.
That's what I have always wanted.
And thanks again, Apple. What?
A virtual reader to read my comics on.
Don't make fun. I won't abide your fun making.
I wasn't making fun. I was mocking.
Oh. You know what? If you're mocking me and I have children, you're a father mocker.
Mm. I am.
So don't you watch it, you father mocker. I better be careful.
You better.
That one was close. That
mother
one was,
mocker is that much
one,
better.
That one was very, very close.
Alrighty then.
So let's hop over into, of course, Couch Entertainment News. Well, after a Comic-Con panel that fizzled back in July and a rushed-out first trailer that even the studio has apologized for, Warner Brothers Pictures has used last weekend's WonderCon as the launching pad for Green Lantern, the new marketing campaign, to try and turn the tide of indifference and skepticism about the project. Good news is that the move has seemed to work, along with a snazzy new poster, which you can find online, and I'll probably post on viewfromthecouch.com in the next day or so. 10 minutes of new footage from the feature was screened. The same reel played to exhibitors and press earlier last week at CinemaCon. So fans at WonderCon got to see that, and I've seen it, and it's pretty smoking. The only thing that worries me about it is they show an awful lot, so how much does it ruin? Anyway, so it shows off various key scenes from the film that feature lots of other Green Lanterns in crowd scenes and things like that. It's pretty cool. So almost half of that footage, so approximately 4 minutes worth, is available online. If you look on YouTube and stuff, you'll find it. Again, I'll probably post it on our site and can be watched in full high def at Apple Trailers at apple.com or apple.ca. There you go. What do you think about that? Couldn't care less.
It's another superhero movie.
Green Lantern.
But this guy wears green.
Oh, you know what?
Instead of blue or black.
Another recent announcement. I won't abide your father mockery.
No, I'm reverting back to how girls look at life. What kind of car did you get?
Green.
It's blue.
Yeah.
It has two doors.
What kind of engine does it have? Oh, or I spent the extra and got the four-door option.
Yeah, that's right.
Same
thing applies to superheroes. I just want to know what color they are. All right, go on.
All right, I will. Jeremy Renner, who is in Hurt Locker, which we still haven't seen, and who will be playing Hawkeye in the Avengers movie coming up. Not as I say Hawkeye, Michelle perks up thinking MASH.
Yeah.
So sad.
Crap. You know, they made a MASH movie, but that is one remake I would go
see. That's where this TV series came from, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
The movie, the TV series spun off of that.
I know, but they need to remake it now.
I don't think so. I don't need to see Will Smith as Hawkeye Pierce. Thanks very much.
Maybe not.
And Willem Dafoe as Colonel Potter.
But most of the characters that went on to do the TV show weren't in the movie anyway.
No, I think Alan Alda, I think, was the only actor that... Alan Alda wasn't in it.
I don't even know.
All right, there you go. Somebody smarten us up and tell us.
Maybe was it Colonel Potter? He might have been in the movie. I don't know.
No, he wasn't. I can't even remember his name now. I just blanked out. Anyway, Jeremy Renner from Hurt Locker and playing Hawkeye in the Avengers movie has been chosen to play Jason Bourne in a new Bourne movie.
Now, we need another new
one. Just wait. The studio or the producers came out and said, this is not a reboot. This is not a reimagining. This is not a sequel. It's not a prequel. So that leaves you with, it is a shameless excuse to build to get money out of the Bourne name, I guess.
So they're just going to... Because there were only three books, weren't there?
No, there's several. Oh. Several. Not billions, but several anyway. Oh, what's the Shattered Glass, City of Angels? What's that series?
City of Bones,
City of Bones,
Ashes.
City of Ashes, something.
City of Glass.
City of Glass.
Yeah.
Mystical something? What's that series called? Anyway, there's a new book. Hardcover.
Oh.
So there you go. So this series that Michelle likes that has City of Glass, City of Bones...
The third one was City of Glass.
Okay, so there is a new book. Anyway, whatever.
Okay.
So moving on to Disney and Pixar have pushed back the release date of Monsters University. I don't think you've even heard about this.
No.
It's a Dan Scanlon-directed prequel to Monsters, Inc., and they've moved it by 7 months. Yeah, I've known about this for a while, and
it's
I just never thought to mention it.
By 7 months?
No. They moved the release date by 7 months back.
All right.
Originally slated to hit theaters on November 2nd, 2012, the feature will now take over Pixar's usual summer slot on June 21st, 2013. That's almost too far away to think about. As previously reported, the story centers on Mike and Sully back when they were students and shows how their friendship came into being after initially starting out as enemies.
Cool.
And I'm assuming Billy Crystal and John Goodman will do those voices because they'd be fools not to.
And you know, once again... I'm probably going to regret having given away our Mike and Sully stuffies.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what's
Did you really
now?
Give them away?
Yeah, because the kids didn't like them and didn't want them.
But I liked them. I don't think I even knew you. Oh, we're going to have words.
That was ages ago.
Oh, I don't think I even knew you gave them away.
Well, have you seen them recently?
Blissfully ignorant. Well, have you seen how many stuffies they have in their rooms? A billion. One of the big original series launches of the year, TV series, hits later this month when HBO debuts its big-budget fantasy epic Game of Thrones, based on George R.R. Martin's novel series, which I've read the first few books of, and it's fantastic. I think you would like it. Buzz has quietly been building about the series, and it stars the likes of Sean Bean, Charles Dance, Peter Dinklage. Peter Dinklage was the writer in Elf, who says, ooh, you must be a North Pole elf. Remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Peter Dinklage. And, of course, Sean Bean. Ian Glenn, Lena Headey, who is Sarah Connor in Sarah Connor Chronicles, Julian Glover, Mark Addy, Joseph Maul, Harry Lloyd, and Jason Momoa. So now HBO has released the first 14 minutes from the pilot episode, and it looks pretty spectacular, and it's online. So let's hope that series does well, because it'd be cool to see a fantasy-based TV series. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, this might interest you. Graham King's GKTV and Gail Hurd's Valhalla Entertainment. You know, Gail Ann Hurd is, of course, James Cameron's ex-wife and producer.
Okay, yep.
And she's currently the producer of The Walking Dead for AMC. They're teaming to produce a series called Port Royal, a pirate-themed hour-long drama series.
Cool.
Set in late 17th century Jamaica, the series chronicles the namesake town's notorious rise as the richest and wickedest city in the New World, a self-governing safe haven for cutthroat pirates, corrupt politicians, ruthless merchants, and why is the rum always gone?
Mm-hmm.
Hurd, who came up with the idea, good for her, will executive produce the show alongside King and several of his associates. It's unspecified if it will go to network or cable, though more likely cable.
I'm thinking that is not going to be a kid safe show.
Well, I don't know. It depends, I guess.
Because they could really take it dark.
Well, they could take it Deadwood dark.
Yeah, that's right? Kind of what I'm thinking, yeah.
Star Trek and Transformers writer Roberto Orci was on hand at WonderCon, speaking of WonderCon again, over the last weekend to talk about Cowboys and Aliens. However, inevitable questions were raised about the Star Trek sequel, which he and writing partner Alex Kurtzman have been scripting. The surprising news is that the pair have been reading a lot of the online feedback to the first film and plan to acknowledge the nitpicks people had with the film in the sequel.
Mm.
One big issue, which Kirk became captain. Everyone said he's too young to be captain, so maybe in the next movie somebody goes, man, you sure became captain young and fast. You start to incorporate people's opinions as you write. If it's organic to the story and you find someone who doesn't think too highly of Kirk because he maybe skipped a few steps, that's maybe a fun thing to consider adding.
Mm.
Kind of neat.
Cool.
He goes on to say that fans wanted more character time with everybody, and because that was an origin story for Star Trek, everyone had to come in at a certain point. Now that everyone's there from the beginning, they're going to get to that. Everyone sure hated engineering, he said. They thought it looked like a brewery, which in fact it was. It was shot in a brewery. And he said he'll pass that on to JJ and see what he says.
Yeah, there with the big pipes going everywhere.
Yeah, that was funny. Well, it was. It was pretty clear, those huge boilers. And I'm going to save that one for last because it's going to make you laugh. Fans of Supernatural, the TV series on WB. I just caught this kind of as an aside. There's an anime adaptation of the series, which is being released in July and won't be shown on television. It was produced in Japan. It's 22 Supernatural, the anime series. It's called as 22 episodes. It covers the story of Sam and Gene Hackman, Sam and Dean Winchester through the first two seasons of the live action show. So it mirrors the live action episodes, but expands more and adds more content. So it's being released on Blu-ray and DVD July 26th. So I'm very curious to see that. Cool. And again, the trailers for it are available online and little clips of the episodes, I think. So check that out. Okay, here you go. Hold on to your hat.
Okay.
It's going to mix something you like with something you can't stand.
All right.
If Marvel executives are interested, Marvel.
Yep.
Patrick Dempsey is ready to make magic. The Grey's Anatomy star said last week he'd love to play Doctor Strange in a film or even a TV series if the situation was right. You know, I thought
he'd have to work out an awful lot.
No, Doctor Strange isn't buff.
No.
Oh, he wears big robes. Michelle has no Doctor Strange is.
No,
Dempsey is one of the highest paid stars on television, but he's restless to push his career in new directions, which is why I didn't know this either. He has a prominent role in this summer's Transformers Dark of the Moon.
Oh.
That's kind of cool. And also why he produced and starred in Flypaper, the dark bank heist comedy that premiered at the Sundance Film Festival. Interesting.
I'd like to see that.
As he looks for his next movie, he can't help but think how great it would be to take his on-screen medical practice into a whole different dimension, literally, by playing Doctor Strange, the Marvel Comics sorcerer created in 1963 by Steve Ditko and Stan Lee.
I've heard of Doctor Strangelove.
I've been lobbying for that, the 45-year-old actor said. There's a whole bunch of people among the Grey's crew who are into comics and Marvel, too. And on the set, they're like, Doctor Strange, that's the one you should do. It'd be fantastic. It'd be a great TV show, especially for HBO or something like that. I don't know if I'd necessarily do another show, he says, or a drama that's 24 episodes a year again. But HBO, you're at 13, and I think that's much better. So a 13-episode HBO season would be interesting to him. It all depends on who you have as the writing team. It's all how you set it up, what the tone is, making sure you're not locked into this for a one-season success. You can't be afraid to think beyond that.
And what about Grey's Anatomy?
I don't know.
He's making it sound like it's over or he's leaving.
I don't think he would leave. No, I don't think so. There have been many attempts through the years to make a Doctor Strange film, and the character has some live-action television history as well. But the property is clearly gaining momentum. Kevin Feige, president of Marvel Studios, has often mentioned the Sorcerer Supreme as a priority character, and in a Hero Complex chat, that's a website, Hero Complex, chat with them last December, he put the character on an intriguing short list. And Feig said, I've not been shy about my love for Doctor Strange, Black Panther, and Luke Cage. Very cool. Very cool, very cool.
Luke Cage has been done.
No. Who are you thinking about? Luke Cage?
Oh.
Michelle doesn't know who Luke Cage is.
You know what I'm... Never mind. Forget it. Move along.
It's all right. Are you sure?
Yep.
Okay. Who are the top TV earners? I came across this as I was reading about Patrick Dempsey. Did you know that Hugh Laurie makes over $400,000 per episode of House? Did you know that crappy David Caruso from CSI Miami makes $375,000 per episode?
That is ridiculous.
To pull his glasses off and act like this. I'll be outside. Cha-ching, $375,000, please. Mark Helgenberger, right under David Caruso, pardon the expression, $375,000 an episode also.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Harmon in NCIS, $375,000. Lawrence Fishburne, $350,000. Kira Sedgwick for leading the closer cast, $350,000. Gary Sinise, CSI New York, $275,000. Patrick Dempsey, $250,000. $250,000 an episode. David David Boreanaz, $200,000. A little bit of a drop there. Who else? Let's jump around a bit. Jimmy Smits for Outlaw, $150,000. I'm dropping down here. Matt Tom Selleck for Blue Bloods, $125,000. Nathan Fillion, Edmonton's own Nathan Fillion, $100,000 per episode of Castle. Alex O'Loughlin from Hawaii Five-O, also $100,000. Let's see. Zachary Levi, who voiced Flint Rider in Tangled.
Oh, right.
In Chuck, he's the lead in Chuck, and he makes $60,000. Let's see who else. Late Night and Talk Syndication per year. Oprah makes $350 million a year.
In Yikes. Syndication.
In syndication. Letterman makes $28,000. Conan makes $10,000. Jimmy Kimmel makes $6,000. There you go.
Million a year.
Source for that is TV Guide, August 11th, 2010. So those numbers have probably gone up. God bless them. So, two things. Well, actually, directly related. Our friend...
Carrie?
Yes.
Leland?
Our friend Carrie Leland. I just totally blanked out. Sorry, Carrie. Who keeps getting us premiere tickets. She's awesome. She was on a conference call yesterday or today, a media call.
Yep.
Interview call with Jack Black.
Cool.
So he was on the other end, and they were all asking questions. And she said she didn't get, they didn't get to any of my questions. We ran out of time. And I said, well, Jack Black does know what he missed, frankly.
That's right.
So there you go. So she said it was pretty cool. She said he was just how you'd expect him to be, just Jack Black.
I think he's great.
So it was an interview about, obviously, Kung Fu Panda 2. I know he hates sequels, but that movie looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Skadoosh.
I didn't say I hate sequels.
Yeah, you did. Prequels, trequels. What happens if there's three sequels? There's is that a triquel?
If there's... I can go as far as three. Maybe four. Any more than that, and it's jumped the shark a long time ago.
What if you make a movie without a sequel? Is that called a nyquel?
Probably.
Anyway. So, I'm waiting for you.
Waiting for me.
To talk about the notes that are sitting right in front of you. Yes.
That is what Carrie Leland... from Edmonton's Child, got us passes for.
Yes, and we went
over the spring break.
And we went during spring break.
And the kids got to stay up late, and they were so excited.
You got popcorn and...
Yeah, it was good. And the movie itself is, we did not realize, but is a animation slash live action movie. In the same sort of vein as...
Who Framed Roger... Alvin. Oh, yeah, closer to Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah. Same director.
Yeah.
So if you've seen Alvin and the Chipmunks or the sequel to that one, then you know the sort of style we're talking about.
There's a lot of time spent with just the live action characters without any animation, and there's a lot of time spent in the animation world, and then there's a blend here and there. So.
Yeah. Basically, the premise is that E.B., short for Easter Bunny.
Who's the son of the actual Easter Bunny.
Yes. He runs away. He doesn't want to be the next Easter Bunny. He's supposed to take over this coming Easter, which is 2 weeks away in the movie. And he decides he wants to be a drummer instead. So he runs away. And he runs into the human character, James Marsden.
Played by James Marsden.
Yeah. And... And that's where the hilarity ensues.
Yes. So he's kind of, he's a bit of a slacker, older son of this family who's got a very, very successful daughter played by Kaylee Cuoco from Big Bang Theory.
Yes, she does a great job.
Russell Brand, by the way, voices EB, is fantastic. He also has a cameo in the movie, which is quite cute. You'll have to see that.
Very funny.
Hank Azaria does two voices. Hank Azaria, of course, famous for his work on The Simpsons. Other familiar faces, Gary Cole and Elizabeth Perkins, play the real-life parents. And then Hugh Laurie voices the Easter Bunny. So
I
very cool.
Gary Cole was dead.
That's Gary Coleman, dear. who's a short black man versus Gary Cole, who is a tall, slightly past middle age Caucasian actor.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't know who
Isn't
he is.
Isn't she cute, folks? Let's give her a hand. Let's give her a hand.
Obviously, I don't know who he
is. No, and I tried to explain, and then I even pointed him out later, and no. Lots of funny stuff in it. What I found a little bit frustrating about Hop is it spent... and I think I said this to you, it spent about the first third or so trying to figure out what exactly it was doing.
That's what you thought.
Yeah. I found it awkward, but once it got going, it had its moments. Would I buy it? Probably not. Would I rush out to see it again? Probably not. So, like, to compare Romeo and Juliet, I really liked. See, when the bar was set so high by Who Framed Roger Rabbit to do an animation live-action hybrid film, what do you do? Like, it's done well in Hop, but there isn't a real sense of interaction like between reality and animation as there was in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. But, you know, can't be perfect.
Yeah.
You liked it. What did you like?
It's a totally different, it's not as physical as Who Framed Roger Rabbit, for one thing. It's not really an action movie.
No, there's quite a bit of slapstick in it.
Yeah, there's some. So, like, to compare the two...
Well, I wasn't really comparing. I was just saying that the an animation, live-action kind of combo film has been done best in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, I suppose so. But again, because of the action sequences where there was a lot of, you know, a lot of interaction because of given the scene and the material.
Yeah.
Whereas in this one, there just wasn't.
Well, he's carrying him around in a backpack and stuff. Like, there was still some neat stuff.
There was.
Yeah. It was more understated.
So, I don't know.
Would you see it again?
I think I would.
Would you recommend it to people?
Yes.
Okay. I would. Is there an age at which you would not recommend it? Is there? Do you think there's a too young? No.
No.
It's very colorful. It's very fun. There's lots of good humor for adults. There's lots of really cute moments. Lots of really goofy moments for kids.
What I really liked about it is that it's very Easter-y.
Yeah.
It really reminded me of when I was a kid and how I felt about Easter.
Yep. Yeah. There's very much a sense of wonder about the Easter Bunny that I don't think. Well, it certainly doesn't come anywhere near to what people think of Santa.
No.
Santa's a bigger deal.
Yeah.
But yeah, it will maybe make you think twice about, gee, maybe we should make the Easter Bunny a little bit more fun. Too late for us, but
yeah,
our kids kind of figured out right away that the Easter Bunny was a sham.
Oh, no, I told them and they were forever mad at me.
Oh.
They still bring it up.
Okay, so between the Mike and Sally stuffed animals and ruining Easter.
Yeah. Wow. I'm two for two. But, no, I think what it is about, what it's going to do for people who have young kids who go and see this movie is that it will make the young kids believe even more strongly. It's just like any Christmas movie that Santa features strongly in, it makes kids believe more strongly in Santa. So when they see this movie, they're going to believe more strongly in the Easter Bunny, which then puts the pressure on parents to be more Easter Bunny-ish.
So yes, parents, or to get out the credit cards.
Yeah, or to go all the way the other way like we did and say, this is all ridiculous.
You want candy? You want candy? Here's your candy. Stop bugging me, kid.
Exactly. So if you don't want to make more of the Easter Bunny, then either don't go see it or prepare your kids in advance.
Or take your kids to see Donnie Darko, that movie about the really creepy, scary rabbit, and then you'll be fine. Or Harvey with Jimmy Stewart and with a giant invisible rabbit. Anyway, speaking of invisible rabbits, I need to go and find myself an invisible rabbit for supper.
Yes.
So that's been View from the Couch for Wednesday, the 6th of April. Everybody have a great week. Thanks for tuning in. As always, we appreciate it. And check out our website, viewfromthecouch.com. You can subscribe to the podcast as well as seeing all sorts of other stuff that we add on there from time to time. We're also on Twitter, viewftcouch on Twitter.
And you can also see us at dvdverdict.com.
That's right. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to View from the Couch, a DVD Verdict podcast. View from the Couch is available exclusively on dvdverdict.com. Watch for new episodes every week. Thanks for your continued support. Kent and Michelle appreciate it. Be sure to visit dvdverdict.com for the latest in DVD and theatrical release reviews, DVD release information, talent interviews, event coverage, and much, much more.